the work week, am I right? But do you know what would make it a little bit better? Doing church on a Sunday and then listening to a podcast about the sermon. Welcome to the Post-Sunday Blues, a preaching postmortem, a production of Liberty Church Collingswood. Each week we'll spend some time unpacking Sunday's sermonics, and we hope that you'll be able to connect a little deeper with the message and the messenger. It's a win if we can make your work week a little less blue. House lights down. Hey, everybody. This is just Jim once again hopping on for a quick post-Sunday blues or preaching post-mortem. Emily is traveling right now, but I wanted to give you a couple of thoughts related to the restarting of the Colossians sermon series here at Liberty Church Collingswood. Didn't want to leave the Howlin' Wolves hanging. So, calling it Stormy Monday, what was on my mind going into this sermon? Well, post-Easter. Often I take off the week after Easter, but I was working last week and eager to get reacquainted with Colossians. I felt the Lord's blessing and presence as we've gone through Colossians thus far. It's taken us a while. We've only gotten through the first couple of chapters so far, but I'm looking forward to making a lot of headway and progress this spring. I think we'll finish Colossians this spring going into summertime. And I mentioned during the sermon that if the season after Easter, considered Eastertide in the liturgical rhythms of the church, are about working out the implications of the reality of Easter in our lives, kind of like going back to the gym, that's what I hope we're able to do with this Colossians sermon series. So on the pod last week with Emily, I said, hey, Eastertide to the church is what January is to everybody else as far as doing good exercise as we feast on Jesus right now. Thanks for the couple people that asked. I did have a great food couple of days after Easter, just like I had hoped. But you got to work off that calories. You got to put them to good use. Let's exercise with Jesus in the coming season as we go back into Colossians from Colossians 3. Verses 1 to 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So three contrasts, either ors, and then one big concept for Sun Studios, presence of the Lord. I love how this passage, here's one of the contrasts, moves from indicative to imperative. I mentioned on Sunday again that we talk a lot about at Liberty Collingswood about the relationship of the indicative to the imperative. So we didn't invent that here at Liberty Collingswood. A great, broad, long tradition in Presbyterian and Reformed circles to say who we are in Christ. That indicative forms and informs our imperative, what we should do. So we don't do stuff so that we can earn Jesus' favor. We have freely received the favor of Jesus already. Therefore, we work. Therefore, we do stuff. And this passage captures that. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Because you are united with Jesus, we'll talk about that in a second. Seek the things that are above. Because you are in Christ, do these things. I think it's clear as day in this Colossians passage here, and hopefully it made sense when we talked about it on Sunday. And then also this contrast of present to future. Paul says here to the Colossians, you've already been raised with Jesus. That's crazy. Writing to the Colossian church, they are in a similar position to we are after Jesus is crucified and resurrected, but they haven't yet died. But Paul is still able to say, you have died, verse 3, and you have been raised with Christ in the past tense. So there's that aspect of living presently in Jesus, but then also we will be raised with him. Jesus will come back and will live forever in the new heavens and new earth, and even our death is yet to occur. So there's this balancing of the already not yet in the Christian life. We have been saved, and we will be saved. We have been raised with Christ, and we will be raised with Christ. the kingdom of God has already begun in Jesus, but it has not yet been fulfilled and consummated. So we live out that sometimes happy tension, sometimes uncomfortable tension between the already not yet in our lives. But that means that we're oriented not just up in the present, but future to the Jesus who will return. And so it's the case for us as followers of Jesus that we are not defined by who we are. We are defined by who and what we will be in Christ. So we look to the future for our orientation in the present, which is a unique aspect of personhood construction under Jesus as we live in this structured reality of the already not yet. And then also I love how Paul says, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." But then, when Christ appears, all will be revealed, and we also will appear with him in glory. So if there's this tension in the passage of the indicative, well, maybe tension is too strong of a word, but this relationship, this moving transition of indicative to imperative, of present to future, there's also this movement of hidden to revealed. And any one of these things could have been the main point of the sermon. Hopefully I talked about all of them enough, at least a little bit. Our lives with Christ are hidden now, but that's not what it's going to be. That's why I was talking about Carly, Massey's girlfriend, who is not a figment of his imagination. Met her at summer camp before going into senior year of high school. She was revealed at prom, and she was glorious. It was a really good reveal. So similarly, we're hidden with Jesus now, but that's not going to be always. Jesus is going to come back, and then the glory that will be revealed in him will be reflected in followers of Jesus en route to the new heavens and new earth that will last forever. And I love how Paul, in this word hidden, it's a big word that has a couple different directions to it. For one thing, our lives are hidden with Christ and God in the sense that we can take some refuge in Christ. I mentioned towards the end of the sermon, the psalmist talking about, "He will hide me in the shelter, in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." All that's true. There is a definite sense in which, because our lives are hidden with Jesus, we take shelter. I'm learning guitar. One of the guitar songs that I'm trying to figure out is Bob Dylan's Shelter from the Storm. That's what Jesus offers to us. And in addition to that, there is an embeddedness. Our lives are burrowed down into, dug deep into, anchored into Jesus crucified and resurrected, which gets to the big idea that I wanted to unpack during the sermon. It was, in fact, the title, Union with Christ. So in my particular strand of Presbyterian and Reformed history and theology, there's a question of what's the big controlling category for all of the blessings that we receive from Jesus? Is it that our justification is at the center? Our being changed by Jesus, our sanctification is at the center? And very smart teachers led me to the conclusion that it's our union with Christ that is the main thing about our being in Jesus, and everything else relates to that. So our justification is not the ground for our being united with Christ, but in fact the opposite is true, because we are in Christ. Another famous passage that unfolds union with Christ, not in as many words, so union with Christ as a phrase in the original Greek doesn't occur here in Colossians 3, nor does it in Ephesians chapter 1. But in Ephesians 1, the beginning of that chapter, Paul says over and over again that we are in Christ, in him, over and over and over. We're united to Jesus, and that's the foundation of every one of the blessings that's been understood as part of the Ordo Salutis, Latin phrase, the order, structured order of salvation. And that is our justification, our sanctification, our adoption, our future glorification. Everything else comes from our being united to him And friends, that's good news. Which relates to, as we muddy the waters here just for a minute, how does union with Christ hit us if you're a seeker or a skeptic? How do I engage union with Christ with you during the sermon and here on the podcast? I guess I just tried to flip it around and say, if we're not united to Jesus, who are we united to? Kind of nothing and no one. We're stuck with ourselves. I mentioned the Albert Camus quote about how being stuck with ourselves kind of means that we're just stuck with ourselves. And there's this atomistic view of freedom that on one hand culturally can seem like the best thing in the world. Wow, we are totally and completely free. Isn't this awesome? But we're also alone. And so freedom is a prison sentence, a court sentence, Camus says, of being left to ourselves, a prisoner's box before the judges and nothing more. If we don't want to be united with Jesus, then we're not. And that's not necessarily good news. Isn't being united with Jesus better news than that? And I hope and I think at the end of the day that it is. And then also in this current moment, which in a lot of ways puts a lot of emphasis on community, I can imagine somebody saying, well, I'm not just stuck with myself. That's not true. I'm united with all of this other people. And sure, but the reality is, if you're a believer in Jesus, the bond that you have with the crucified and resurrected Jesus is so much stronger than any bond that you would have with any other person. Nuclear family, found family, spouse, partner, whatever it is. And the person on the other side of that bond in Jesus is infinitely more dependable and trustworthy than anybody else that you would ever be united to. So we can say, yeah, it's not just me. I'm bonded to all of these other folks. And I hope that we are, but that bond doesn't hold a candle to the union that we have with Jesus. That's the deeper bond. And any other bonds compared to that, Elton John would say, are just candles in the wind. Also working out what union of Christ means from us in this passage, Paul says, seek the things that are above, not the things on earth. That means that there's a cutting out and a running towards. Let's cut out things that are either prohibited, the Bible says, no, don't do it, but then also permitted, but not a great idea for us. Everything is permissible, Paul says to the Corinthian church, but not everything is beneficial. What is it beneficial for you to do as a follower of Jesus? Understanding that not everything that we could do for and in Christ is not what we should do. Let's use a little bit of wisdom, and truth is in the details here. A lot of the time, what's permitted in Jesus is what feels easier relative to what he really is calling us to. Hey, this is what I need to focus on. It might be a little bit harder, but we enter into more richness in our relationship with Jesus and what he's calling us to as we cut out that permitted stuff and not just the prohibited stuff, which of course we should also do. And in this Eastertide season, which coincides here in the Northern Hemisphere, I guess, with the start of summertime, I guess if you're a Christian in the global South somewhere, you're entering wintertime after Easter. That would feel really weird and different to me. The good news is that's not where we live. Sorry, any listeners in the global South, I'm sure it's great down there too. But for us, Easter coincides with spring and summer, where things get warmer and we're out more and we're able to connect more. Let's run towards what Jesus has called us to with other people in this Eastertide season. Told you we were going to go fast. Bar band cover tunes. I referenced a couple different chunks of Colossians chapter 2 in the sermon, Colossians 2, 12 and 13, and then also Colossians 2, 16 and 18. We heard Albert Camus talking about freedom from his famous work, The Fall. Also, F.F. Bruce was the commentator in question, who talks about living life under the resurrected Jesus as Lord of all creation. That's what it means to seek the things above. Implication, I didn't really unpack this in the sermon, that Caesar is not our true Lord. On the other hand, we had Psalm 27:5, also 1 John 3, a lovely verse from the third chapter of John's first letter. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, there's that appearing idea again, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Isn't that great news? Then the other Bible verse I read was from 1 Corinthians 4:5. Do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring light to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from the Lord. Another part of Jesus appearing, I just touched on this briefly during the sermon, is revelation en route to judgment. When Jesus comes back, as he has come the first time to bear the judgment of God, he will return to bring the judgments of God, and all things that are hidden will be revealed at that time. But the good news is, if you're in Christ, we will be found in him, and the verdict will be free, loved, come and enter my rest. For whatever else we're doing in this Eastertide season, let's not miss the rest and life of Jesus that he has for us here. Well, that's all we have, Helen Wolves, for this week. Thanks for listening for a few minutes, and it's great to be in Colossians with you all once again. But how was it for you? That was amazing. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been the Post-Sunday Blues, a preaching postmortem, a production of Liberty Collingswood. Go ahead, rate, review, and subscribe, and you can find all things Liberty Collingswood at libertycollingswood.org. No more Post-Sunday Blues. Here comes some Pre-Sunday Happy.